stupid with everything I have. But it is good to own anyway, for the pleasure of laying it on the bedspread and then sitting beside it, touching it. What I like most about museums is that the efforts of so many people remain so long after they are gone. They made their marks. If you are an artist, you can hope to achieve that. If you are not an artist, you believe that having children is the closest you'll come. Well, that's what I believe. And anyway, I have always preferred the company of children. I just like to be around them. Whenever my large family gets together on holidays, I sit at the kids' card table. It's so much more relaxing, what with the way the dishes are plastic and manners of any kind optional. So much more interesting, too. No talk about current events, no holding forth by any overweight, overeducated aunt or uncle. There is talk only about things that are astonishing. Facts about the red ant, say, or the elaborate retelling of an unfortunate incident, such as the one where a kid vomited on the teacher's desk. I always thought I'd have 5 or 6 children, and I have imagined so many lovely domestic scenes featuring me and my offspring. Here we are, outside on a hot summer day, running through the sprinkler. The children wear bright fluorescent bathing suits in pink and green and yellow. I wear cutoffs and a t-shirt. There is fruit salad in the refrigerator. Later, I will let the older kids squirt whipped cream for the younger ones. Then, if they pester me enough in the right way, I'll let them squirt it into their mouths and mine. Or here I am at the grocery store, my married hands unloading graham crackers and packages of American cheese that have already been broken into due to the eager appetite of the toddler in the carriage, who is dressed in tiny Oshkosh overalls over a striped shirt. His fine hair, infused with gold and red, curls up slightly at the back of his neck. His swinging feet are chubby and bare. He has flung his sneakers and socks on top of the family-sized pack of chicken breasts. His brothers and sisters are in school. Later in the afternoon, he will stand at the living room window, watching for them to come home, squealing and bending his knees in a little joy dance when he sees them marching down the sidewalk toward him, swinging their lunchboxes in high, bright-colored arcs. I have imagined myself making dinner while my dark-haired daughter sits at the kitchen table. She is making me a picture of a house with window boxes, choosing crayons with slow care. She is wearing yellow turtle barrettes in her hair and a bracelet she made from string. "Hey, Mommy," she says, "do you want flowers on the ground, too?" "Oh, yes," I say, "sure."
"Me, too,"
she says. We smile. I have imagined a fleshy constellation of small children and me spread out and napping on my big bed while the newest baby sleeps in her crib. The pulled-down shades lift with the occasional breeze, then slap gently back against the windowsill. If you listen carefully, you can hear the small breathing sounds of the children, their soothing, syncopated rhythms. There is no other sound, not even from the birds. The afternoon is holding its finger to its lips. All the children have blankets, and all of them are sucking their thumbs. All of them are read to every night after their baths. All of them think they are the favorite. None of them has ever had an illness of any kind, or ever will. I mean, as long as I'm imagining. What I never imagined was the truth. Me, at 36 years of age, lying around on top of my made bed on a beautiful winter afternoon with shades pulled for an entirely different reason, thinking, why didn't I marry Johnny Tranchilla? So he was shorter than I was. He was very handsome and very romantic. He had black curly hair and naturally red lips. He sent me a love note in the mail after our first date, and he was only 19. How brave. His father was loaded. He wore Weejuns with no socks. I could have been happy. Then I go on through the rest of my short list, thinking of the men I might possibly have married. Ron Anderson, who became a mildly famous artist and now lives in a huge A-frame.